Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with a couple of my favorite people, Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. This is a great day for New Life.
Thank you for taking my call.
Great to talk to you. I've listened to the program for over a decade.
How are you today?
I'm surviving.
No, well, let me ask you this. Are you having sex with her? Now, that's just not hard to answer. It's either yes
or no. Well, I think
no.
The answer's obvious.
They simply want you to drop into a system of order which acknowledges who they think they are.
This is a big problem in our church. People get one verse and they make a religion out of it. So you got that
true.
Passage in Ephesians, and you look at that, and all of a sudden, you're going to be drinking Kool-Aid on an island somewhere because you got one verse theology.
Reflect back her feelings and let her sit with them.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live, and hello to Dr. Henry Cloud.
I'm
and
sorry, Steve. You
why
caught me
are
laughing.
You, and Dr. Sherry Denham, why hello. Are you, is there something I said or didn't say?
That, it was something John said on that intro. You get a one-verse theology, you're going to end up on an island somewhere.
Drinking Kool-Aid.
It just made me smile.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are many things that make me smile. And, you know, you guys always have great answers, and sometimes they're a little wacky, I think.
Isn't it true how people find, like, one verse and that becomes their whole theology, though?
Well, and has there ever been a verse that's caused more trouble than that a woman shall submit to her husband? And, you know, if you take that out of context, well, okay. But if you look at the first verse of that chapter in Ephesians, the very first verse says, submit yourselves one to another. It's, you know, there's the opening cannonball right there is mutual submission. And you come down here and somebody fires off in this other verse a hand pistol and you're dodging the bullet and missing and the whatever. It's a good analogy. I'll work it up. But it just didn't work that time. But anyway, you get the point. And, you know, in that group of scripture toward men and women, men needing to die for their wives and women needing to submit to their husbands, there are 74 words geared toward women, and there are over 140 words that are geared toward men. So it's much more about men needing to die for their wives than women submitting to their husbands. But that one verse can really lead everything. And I am all for submission and death, both. They're exciting.
Steve.
What?
I remember years ago, and I will not say the publisher, but because, you know, we've written a lot of books with a lot of different publishers. But a Christian publisher said to me and John, we were going to write a book, and the Christian publisher says, I just want to make sure that you don't say anything in there about submission. And we said, why? He said, because it always causes problems. He says, no matter who says it, whatever. I said, come on. And John and I really took a stand. We said, look, we try our best to teach the Bible and what it says, and we are going to say something about it where if it is needed or whatever, and we got in a big argument about it, but they were so beat up in the process over the years, like you're saying, they just didn't want us to even get into the argument.
Yeah, well, it's an area that really needs to be dealt with, because I think mutual submission makes for a very, very powerful marriage, and as soon as my wife lets me, I'm going to share more about that. All right.
Didn't you hear about the guy he was hiding under the bed, and his wife's, you know, standing at the end of the bed yelling, you come out from under there right now. And he said, absolutely not. She's waving the frying pan. He says, absolutely not. I'm the head of this marriage, and I'll stay under here as long as I want to.
There's kind of some balance to that.
That was
somehow
a cartoon I saw.
Yeah, that's really good. All right, we're going to take a break and come back for more of New Life Live. First day of November here. Happy November, everybody. And could you start off this November with a gift to New Life? Maybe you're thinking about year-end giving. We will spend that money as best it can be spent to help transform a life. You can find out at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Cece, Boston, Massachusetts, WEZE is the station. Hi, Cece.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How could we help you today?
Well, I have questions. I'd like to know, what do you do when your boyfriend told you that he needs space?
He's what?
He needs space.
Oh, he needs space.
Put him in a rocket ship and send him up there.
Why does he need space? Are you smothering him?
No, not at all. We met a year and a half ago. Things were going well. Well, when I met him, he was going through a divorce. And, I didn't know in the beginning. He told me after a month, he said she didn't want to sign the papers because she wanted money. She wanted $10,000. And he was a great boyfriend. He would send me flowers, tell me I love you all the time. We never have a fight. We never fight at all.
Hey, Cece, you know what you were?
Excuse me?
You know what you were?
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
You were his drug dealer. Now, I know that sounds weird. But whenever he was thinking about you and sending those flowers and all that stuff, he didn't have to grieve or experience the anger or whatever it was that he needed to experience.
Okay.
In that divorce situation. And so you ended up being what a lot of people are. You ended up being the transitional relationship.
Okay.
So I say if a man says he needs space and you're not married to him, give him all the space you can possibly give him. What's the alternative? Lure him back in?
Excuse me?
The only alternative would be try to lure him back in or something, and then he'll end up feeling trapped and for the rest of his life saying, I really need space.
I don't want to do that because all my friends told me not to call him, not to contact him.
Your friends are geniuses. They're geniuses. They really love you, don't they?
Yes, they do. They told me to stay away from him.
Good. To wait for him?
Stay away from him.
Oh, to stay away from him.
I really like your friends.
Yeah, and if he wants to be with me, he'll let me know.
All right, now let me ask
you
this.
What do you do in the meantime?
Let me ask you this. Why in the world are you calling us about this? Why is it hard for you to let go of a man that was wanting to date you before the divorce was final, says he wants his space? Why are you trying? Why is it difficult to let this go?
Well, I haven't called him. It's been a week.
Good.
I never thought he would do something like that. So this is a guy that told me that, once the divorce is final, we're going to get married, we're going to have a family.
Yeah, no one's ever lied about that before.
Yeah. You know,
that's just sad that you believed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. You've invested a year and a half.
Was it a sexual relationship?
No, he was a good guy. We were going to church on Sunday together. He introduced me to his family, to all his friends. And, you know, he was a good Christian guy. I don't know. So
yeah, well, you know what happens to those good Christian guys that get out of their marriages real quick? They love you. You're the best option they've seen in a long time. And then when they see another option, they want to experience that.
She left him, though. She's the one that left him.
Well, and so he's hurt. And then he found you, and you made him feel better. And then he found somebody else, probably, that makes him feel even better.
Yeah. Or he just might want some time to go and explore different relationships. You know, sometimes people coming out of a hard marriage, it's like they kind of need some time to just experience some different types of people before they even know how to land and who they want to land with again. And I'm sorry that you were in the wake of that. It was. I don't think you realized when you said yes to him a year and a half ago at that stage of his life, I don't think you realized how risky your yes was. But it was very risky because I hear you put your heart in. Your heart was in.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear is breaking. And it's like the, okay, it's been a week and I'm white-knuckling it and I'm trying so hard not to call him. And really, that's your heart breaking. You're brokenhearted.
Yeah.
What could we help to say to you, Cece, that would make you feel better about this horrible time in your life?
Well, I wanted to email him and say to him that, you know, I understand it's over, so...
Did he say it's over, or did he say he wanted space?
Excuse me?
Did he say it's over, or did he say he wanted space? I hear wanting space is different than saying it's over.
He never said that. He said he wants space.
What does that mean? When you said, what does that mean? What was he saying? That he just, he wants to go gather his thoughts, he's trying to make up his mind. What did that mean?
He wants to date other people.
Nothing, just like that. I didn't say anything.
Well, let me give you a suggestion that may or may not be a good one, okay? I find it very scary to make life plans on partial information. And if you're if all you know is one word from this guy that he wanted space, we don't know what that means. But I want to give you a continuum here to think about. On one hand, on the far left hand, say, of this continuum, you might have a person who is totally incapable of having a whole relationship with anybody and only can have partial relationships with people. Like he's partially hung up in this divorce with his wife, and so he takes another part of himself to you, and you feel good, and you help him, like Steve said, provide the medicine and the comfort and the transitional teddy bear to get away from his pain. Okay, that's the bad case scenario. And once he's out of it, then he doesn't need you anymore, and he goes away. The middle case would be somebody, or let's say the 25-yard line, would be somebody who is not that divided and not that split up, but has some kind of unfigured out, you know, freedom and connection balancing acts in his own head. And when he's connected to somebody, he kind of always is looking for his space because he can't do that in the relationship, and he's kind of working out that mother conflict with the women in his life. And so that's what he did with you. He really likes you, and he connected with you, but now he feels smothered inside of himself, so he's got to get away from that and kind of re-find himself, and then he'll come back. The next one would be a pretty good guy who has all that figured out, but he did a stupid thing and didn't take the time to metabolize his divorce. And once he got into this relationship, all that stuff starts to emerge and it goes confusing in his head. And now he needs some space to do the grieving he should have done before he got connected with you. Okay. Now, having said all that, you don't know what you're dealing with because you don't know what he meant by space. So what I would do is I'd call him up, say, look, not trying to intrude on your space here. I got to go plan my life. We had a relationship. You made certain promises, this, that, and the other. If all of that's off, I need to know that because I'm going to move on down the road. If you think you're going to come back, I need to know that because I got to decide whether or not I want to wait for you. And thirdly, I got to know what to do in the interim if that's true. And so I want to have one conversation, and I want to find out what your plan is. And then you can know what you're dealing with. But with any of that, I wouldn't just hop back in. because he's got some issues. And you have got a lot of proving to on his side, if he does come back, that he's really ready, because obviously this time he wasn't.
All right, thank you.
That was good, really concrete. I like the, you know, analogy of the 25-yard line and the, you know.
Yeah, very good.
All space seekers are not the same.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's some reason there was some struggle in his marriage, right? Like you said, on the far end, it could be an avoidant that has a hard time knowing how to engage.
But be sure and listen to those friends, because they seem to know something.
And please, 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 while he's getting in his space, go have a life and don't sit at home.
Yes.
Go out with 1,000 different people and have fun and have a fulfilled life and this, that, and the other. And then you'll find out a lot about you and him when and if he does come back.
All right. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you walking into walls, and I hope that that will be a blessing to you. And let's go over here and talk to Gene from Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. Hello, Gene. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hello.
Good to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling us. How can we help you today?
Well, I just need some counsel on how to approach my son and his wife. They both have had drug problems for quite a while. It's smoother now, but they happen to be in a house that we own, and the rent's not getting paid, and they're driving a truck that we thought he was buying from us, but now we're making the payments. It looks like he's, I guess they're both using, but on a regular basis, but they seem to be functioning pretty well, but his paranoia is increasing. And I'm just, you know, we get, we're older and have had health issues, and I don't know whether we need to talk to them both together and say, hey, you know, we're aware that this is going on, but can we work out something here? Or we can't make them go, you know, for help.
Well, but you can certainly make it difficult for them to continue with their problem, can't you?
We, you know, I guess if they didn't have three children there, they would be, you know, it would be a lot easier to make it difficult. That's been the thing. We have actually legal custody of two, or we did have back when they got a divorce. We intervened in the divorce and got legal custody. The kids lived with us for a couple of years. 3 years ago, they got the family back together, and we were hopeful that things would improve. He's been to Celebrate Recovery a few times, and actually he went to rehab and seemed to really benefit from that. But his words are, you know, if she's using, I'm using. If I'm using, she's using. So on.
Yeah. Okay. So, Sherry, Henry, you guys have an approach that she should take that might help things?
I guess I'm just curious, first off, what's the drugs of his choice? What is he using?
Meth.
Oh, hardcore.
Real drugs.
Yeah.
Well, it's been since he was 17.
How old is he now?
He was sent 4 years in the military, and I think he probably didn't use it then, but he was, you know, he drank most weekends. And so, like I say, it looks like they look like a sweet, normal couple on the one hand. They both have, his jobs have been erratic the last 2 years, but then the economy's been weird.
Yeah.
So
meth and alcohol, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't drink that much. I don't know. I think I just know she uses it on a small enough level to. I think she used it to get herself, quote, started in the morning. And I don't know. He's more open to us. He'll admit. Yeah, we're. Okay. You know, we're using.
What kind of professional drug treatment has been in the picture?
He went to a rehab in Grapevine, or a good one, Grapevine Valley Hope.
How long ago was that?
And
was really, I think, changed. I really think he was. We were keeping the kids.
How long ago was that?
I beg your pardon?
How long ago was he in recovery?
5 years.
Okay. Well, here's what I would assume was if he were in rehab and the professionals were involved, they would have him in a program. They would have the family in the program, and everybody would kind of have their prescribed roles of being part of the system of what to know or what to do if he starts to use again, right? And it sounds like that somehow that fell apart.
Yeah,
right?
It did.
I would move quickly to put a system-wide program back in place where I had a really good drug counselor advising me even before you do anything, because there's dangerous stuff going on here, and it sounds like an extended family system is involved, and you need some really, really good coaching by somebody who's done this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
An interventionist type person.
We'll try to connect you with one of those right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And let's go right over here and talk with Bernadette from Bel Air, California. KKLA.
Hey, Steve.
Yes,
Steve.
Sir.
Can I say one quick thing before that?
Sure, please.
We didn't have a lot of time before the break
to
finish, but I would kind of get a little bit above the drug problem at more than 50,000 foot level and talk to adult parents out there, and also even or parents of adults, I should say, out there, and also parents of people that are going to become adults one day. And that is, even if this couple were not using drugs, okay, I there's just a problem when parents are long-term as a pattern enabling adult kids in lifestyle mm-hmm. kinds of things, where you're paying for a home, for example, that they wouldn't be able to afford, and cars, and et cetera, because what happens is it creates a division inside the person between their expectations of life to gratify them and their actual level of functioning. And those always need to be the same inside of a person. What we're getting should broadly kind of match the level of that we're performing at. You know, that's kind of what sowing and reaping is about. And so that's why I think it's very, very important for, and this gets tricky in economically hard times, because a lot of times, you know, because of the economy, people do need help from family, and that's fine and that's good. But what is a season cannot become a pattern. And that's where I think families have to be very, very, what would be the word, careful about that.
Yeah. Okay, Sherry, and you had a comment.
I did. Well, in this situation, what Henry's saying is so true. I mean, there was legal custody for a period of time, and I imagine that that's probably was part of the wake-up call for them to try to get their lives back together, but they didn't get in a staying pattern. One of the things I just wanted to give Jean was just to take a moment and give her a word picture for the brain of her son and of her daughter-in-law. Meth is so toxic. I've seen brains under the influence of meth from a SPECT perspective when you're looking at blood flow, and they really look like Swiss cheese. The brains just, and that doesn't mean the hardware of the brain, but all the blood flow decreases significantly. I mean, if you can imagine a brain that just has all these holes in it, that's why the daughter-in-law has to get up in the morning and use just to get started, because she doesn't have enough blood flowing through their brain. He's not able to pay the bills. Paranoia sets in. And so it's kind of like when we think about enabling our kids, you know, would we enable them if they were drinking Drano? No, we wouldn't. If they were drinking Drano, we'd do everything we needed to do to stop them. And in drugs, you know, in light of how it impacts our brain, it's horrible on it. And he needs to stop the toxins. It's impacting him severely. And so they may have to pull the plug and get those kids back under grandma and grandpa's roof, right? Her grandkids, in order to let the bottom drop out and get her son and daughter-in-law back into rehab.
Okay. Not easy.
Not easy at all.
And you don't want to be held hostage by the children. You know, you don't want to just think, I can't do anything because of the children.
Right. I mean, the children are going to be more and more in jeopardy.
Right.
The more, this is a progressive disease. It just gets uglier. The brain gets uglier. And so you've got to stop the process. It's that important.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad that you called, and we know we've got a treatment center. We can help you with this, and we'll tell you more about that off the air. Okay, let's go to Ann from Atlanta, Georgia. WNIV is the station. Hello, Ann.
Hi.
How you doing?
Thank you. Oh, well, I'm a little worried. I hear on the radio program you talking about support groups a
mm-hmm.
lot. And I've been diagnosed with OCD, and I'm on medication.
Okay.
And I'm just a little afraid of getting in a support group. I'm in a Sunday school class where they don't seem to be supportive of any kind of emotional or mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder what kind of a support group I need.
What do you mean when you say that they don't seem to be supportive of mental or emotional problems? What is the support group supporting?
Well, it's my Sunday school class. They don't really support anything except the Bible.
Well, what do you mean? I don't understand that. What do you mean they don't support emotional problems? What does that mean? If somebody's hurting, they throw them out? What does that mean?
If they say that depression is a sin.
Well, I would immediately go find a better support group. I mean, if you're struggling with the kind of pain that you're talking about that actually, you know, has gotten so severe, our heart goes out to you, and we're so glad that you're getting help. But the last people that you would want to turn to for support would be somebody that would beat you up for it and say that you're sinning because you're hurting.
Oh, I know it, but that's what they say.
I understand. Sure, they say that. There's a lot of people out there that don't understand what they're talking about.
Well, where should I go?
We'll help you try to find someplace.
Yeah,
we're glad you called. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we come back from the break, because that's a big problem for a lot of people, believe it or not.
Okay, thanks.
And I guess I would wonder, when you come back, Anne, think about some of the issues that come up with the OCD that cause you to struggle. What are the things that you need support for?
Sure was a lot of sinning going on in the Bible, because there were a lot of depressed prophets and other heroes there. We'll be back right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Henry was saying that it might be a good idea if Anne found a better support group. There was something you wanted
you
to
think?
Add to this. Yeah, I just feel bad for her because, you know, hearing that if you're depressed, it's a sin.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that? I mean, I know we can believe it, but every time, I mean, we've only been fighting this battle for a long time, but every time I hear it, I still can't believe it. You know,
well,
as clear as the Bible is about hurting people, we're supposed to support them and help them.
The truth of the matter is they're just all under the wraps there. I mean, there are depressed people in her Bible study. There are depressed and anxious people in her church. It's just, it's stealth mission. Nobody's talking about it because you can't. If you bring it up, then you're a sinner. So why would you feel free to bring it up? You know, those
kind of... It becomes First Church of the Fakers.
Yeah.
So nobody will think you're sinning.
It's like, wow. It's just, where do you go to be real and, you know, be supported? In my small group that I've been in for 5 years, I mean, one of the folks in there that I love dearly has OCD. You know, another one struggles with depression. Another one struggles with anxiety. It's
right.
The body of Christ.
How many times do they hear that they're sinning when they go to your group?
Not once.
There you go.
Not once.
That's
why
you're
there.
We
support one another.
Right.
It's like we love one another. And based on them bringing that to the group, we actually kind of help them think through their issues based on we have an understanding that if they struggle with depression, we're going to be sharing different things with them than if they weren't. Or if they have OCD, we're going to be approaching them in a different way, you know? So it actually draws me closer to them because now I understand kind of how they are in the world. But there's no judgment there at all. So that's what you need, Anne.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So
we love you. We care about you. And I just hope and pray that you're going to find some people that love you, too.
Thank you.
All right. Glad you called. I'm going to send you walking into walls. Hold on. Man, what a sweet lady.
I know.
Yeah.
Can you believe, though, that that people actually do that. I keep saying that. Of course we can believe it. We talked about it for decades here, but it's just still staggering
that it's alive and well.
That it's alive and well
in this century.
And you know what? It wasn't only in this century exactly. But you go back to Job had the same problem. And what I love about Job is Job's in this struggle. And if you analyze the sermons of his friends, you know, the helpful counselors that they thought they were, it's almost like walking through a Christian bookstore. Each one of them had a title to his or to his advice. And it was like a walk through a Christian bookstore. One of them said, well, if you would get the sin out of your life, you know, then you would get well.
Yeah.
And there are books that talk about that. You got there's a whole counseling movement built around that. Another one said, if you knew God's precepts more, so you got to get in the Word, Job. If you just, you know, would study the Bible, you got that whole line of thinking.
Sure.
Then another one said, if you'd let your righteousness be your guard, you know, if you just get into your righteousness, why don't you learn your, quote, position in Christ, Job? And then on and on and on. They kept giving these pat answers. And God really was ticked at all of them. And Job called them a bunch of worthless physicians because that wasn't God's perspective on this. God knew that Job was suffering through no fault of Job's.
Mm-hmm.
Part of a bigger picture.
Yep. Absolutely.
There's suffering in the world.
So true. All right, let's go to Bernadette from Bel Air, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Bernadette.
Hi. Oh, I'm so nervous.
That's okay.
Okay. I was calling about I'm just stuck as far as divorce and remarriage.
Okay, speak right up there. We're kind of losing you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm hearing static, too, on my end. Can you hear me? No?
Yeah. Are you on a portable phone?
No. No? It's a home phone. Yeah, that's why I didn't use my cell. I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to get through. But I'm hearing the static as well. So.
No, I mean a portable, like you walk around the house with it.
Oh, like a cordless?
Yeah.
Okay,
why don't you walk closer to the base station?
The base station?
Where?
The base station.
Yeah, okay. Where it sits and you charge it. See if that
helps. Okay, hold on just a second.
Henry's amazing at diagnostics and on many levels here, you know?
He is.
Not only in light of relationships, but technically.
I mean, you know.
Hello?
There you are.
Oh, is that better?
That's so much better.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, in the old days when we had the TVs that you had the antenna and you had to, like, they look like bunny ears and you had to kind of move them in a certain direction.
Yeah.
Is it like that, Cher?
It is. I remember those bunny ears. Now I'm really dating myself here.
Now she talks to people that have aluminum foil on their head.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Hi. Okay, good. I'm glad that's helping. Okay, so I just am really stuck as far as remarriage, and I should back up. I just have guilt about getting divorced. I'm the one that initiated it. I was in counseling too at the time, and you know, she kind of always encouraged me, "Are you dating now? Are you dating?" And you know, I'm like, "Yeah, like no way, I'm not dating. Of course not." And but anyway, now it's been long enough, and I think that I would like to remarry, but I have so much guilt about remarrying because I initiated the divorce. There was no adultery on either side. There was no, we were both Christians. And anyway, so, and I almost wish I could just not want to be in a relationship so that it would make it easier, you know, just to.
Yeah, so what's going on with him?
Well, he remarried and now is divorced. And we were married, yeah, I told you, 21 years, so.
So he remarried after you?
Yeah, he did. And now he's divorced again. It's been 8 years.
Okay.
Why did you initiate the divorce?
I initiated the divorce because, well, I had to move out. And, of course, I took my kids with me, and that's a big thing that he keeps beating me up about that. But, we were living off-grid. He pulled us out to living off-grid, no power. And it was just a horrible, horrible culture shock for me, and there was absolutely no options. I tried to talk to him for years, you know. I would just eat it, you know, for as long as I could, and then I would just, you know, try to tell him I cannot live this way. And
what's off-grid with no power? You mean no electricity?
Correct, yeah.
Where did you move?
What, I'm sorry?
Where he pulled you off grid. Where did you get? Did you go to like Montana in the desert or something?
No, it was northern.
Not that there's
California.
Deserts in Montana, but you know, open space.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was northern California, in Grass Valley.
So he just wanted to pull you out of civilization?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it was like no community, and he wanted it that way. And
yeah,
it was horrible for me. And
that's terrible.
You know, for 10 years, we lived that way, and
wow.
I had to go into counseling because I couldn't function or cope. I really, really couldn't. I mean, it was so bad, I could barely take care of my kids, and he worked long hours always. Ironically, he's an electrician, and...
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Wait. Electrician, and he had no power in his own home.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's like a dentist with no teeth.
It's like
right.
Crazy.
Being in conflict.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you guys got divorced, and so now what is your question? Because he's obviously he's broken your marriage vows.
I'm sorry, what?
He has broken your marriage vows.
You say he broke the marriage vows?
Well, yeah, he got remarried, right?
Oh. Okay.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people say, you know, the way that they look at that in entire passage is that a breach of the oneness on either side constitutes a breach.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
I mean, is that the way that you, everybody's heard that? Am I
the way I would look at it.
Am I the only one that's heard?
No. That's the way I would see it.
That position.
But now, when you say that scripture, what scripture are you referring?
Well, if you're talking about, I mean, is the whole question about grounds for divorce?
I'm so sorry. Could you repeat
what did you mean? Give us your question, because you said you feel guilty, and it's about remarriage, right? So where's the guilt coming from?
Where is that coming from?
Yeah, and in other words, are you asking, are you free to remarry, or is God hating you for the first divorce, or what is it?
Oh, I guess both those things. I've just been stuck every time I would like to move ahead. Not that I feel I don't know that I'm even healthy enough to move ahead.
Yeah, you certainly want to work on the people picker part of this. You know, that's an important part after divorce.
Okay.
You don't want to pick somebody that's going to whisk you off, you know, and put you in jail for 10 years.
Oh, you know what? I couldn't hear you very well. I'm sorry. What was that?
That you don't want to pick somebody like him again.
I'm sorry. I still can't hear you. What was that?
If you do get into another relationship, you want to make a better selection this time.
Yeah, there's so many levels to this.
Yeah.
Is he still interested in you at all?
No. And I have definitely explored that.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that that is helpful to you. I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls. Here it comes.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care,
as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Sherry Denham joining me today. And there are a lot of things that we do and many things that we'd love for you to be aware of. As soon as I find my sheet, I'd like to share them with you. But I do know this, that we've got some, just this week, Lose It for Life is coming up. The 3rd through the 6th, you could still sign up today, November 3 through the 6th. Please pray about it, think about it, and call us right now because it's going to be an amazing time. Also, we've got a drug and an alcohol treatment program. This Friday is our Focus Friday program. We're going to be talking about difficult conversations, and Henry will be doing a great job with that, as he is the king of difficult conversations. Well, he and John are double princes or something like that, because they wrote that great book that so many of us need on how to have that difficult conversation. And I would just ask you, if you're thinking about making a gift at the year end, you'd rush that up a little bit, push that up, and give sooner than later. We really do need your help. I've talked about it before. We need your help. All right, let's go. We've got time for one quick phone call here. Let's talk with James from Arlington, Virginia, WAVA. Yes, Henry.
I hate to do this because you're getting another call, but we ran out of time with her. And I just wanted to say, anybody's out there that is listening, because we've heard this a bunch, they go from really having horrible things done to them in a relationship all the way from A to Z, and Z's the divorce. There's so many things in between to be doing. I mean, why she, and we don't know because we didn't have time, but, 10 years being held captive, I would have wanted her to take a stand way, 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 way back there. So he had to come to grips to the fact that he had made a commitment to a wife and a family, and this nomad existence that he wanted to do probably was something he had to die to for the sake of his wife and family.
Mm-hmm.
And that, somewhere, those kind of limits and boundaries didn't happen. I would just encourage people, don't think that misery on the one hand and then finally I can't tell you anymore and divorce on the other hand are the only two checks on the chessboard. There's a path of things that God offers to you.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we've tried to introduce people to, are the options of the extremes. Mm. One, staying in this horrific situation, or the other one, after years, I'm out of here. James from Arlington, Virginia, WAVA is the station. Hi, James.
Hi.
Could we help you, James?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes. I'm a newlywed, and we just married this past summer. And it's been a little difficult for me specifically because my wife has started graduate school. And, I think more and more a growing issue for me has been my work schedule. And I'm starting to feel like we're less engaged within the home. It's not the same, of course, as it was before she started. And it's starting to really strain me because I'm feeling like, my love tank really isn't getting filled as we used to. And
okay.
Also, I want to be considerate for her.
All right. Now, what's the question for us? Because we don't have a lot of time.
Well, just, I don't know, what are some practical ways that I could still be supportive of her, but communicate that that, you know, I feel like we're more and more separated.
Okay.
Because of her work.
All right. Henry, Sherry, any quick thoughts
on
that?
Well, I have a quick thought for you, James. When I hear you say that your love tank isn't being filled, and she's in graduate school and your work schedule's busy, I guess I would encourage you to flip that around to say, how could you end up filling her love tank and yours at the same time? So instead of kind of waiting for her to pursue you with what she has left, what would it look like to just say, honey, I know how hard you're working here in your program, and I'm stealing you away tonight. Or I want to steal you away this weekend. What night would be better for you with your schedule? I just want to go out. I want to have a dinner together. I just want to be with you. You know, want to talk to you heart to heart. Just check in on what's going on.
And I've expressed that to her. And the schedule is so intense for her. And, you know, I know, of course, she's not doing it on purpose. But it's just like I feel like I'm fifth place.
Yeah.
And have you brought that to her? Have you just said, I don't think I can weather all these years of graduate school with this lean, you know?
I have.
And she said what?
Her response was more like, you know, it's of course a lot on her, but you know, I kind of knew this kind of going in, and you know, she really needs me to just kind of support her. But I really want to do that. But at the same time, you know, I'm just a person myself, and I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot more. I don't mind doing it, but it's just like, you know, where will I be filled in, you know, at that point?
I don't know. There's something I'm wrestling with, James. I'm really trying to hold on to you here, but it doesn't sound like a... It sounds like a begging position. Like it's kind of like you're going to her, kind of like, oh, I just, you know, I don't hear the strength in you saying, this is what we need. I don't hear that in your posture, in your voice. I'm hearing more of a defeated, you know, kind of more needy,
yeah,
begging.
Yeah, it's tough because I do want her to succeed and go through it. You understand?
Absolutely.
Wanted to get the best out of it. I don't want to feel like I'm a I'm a roadblock or
and you don't want her to feel like she's got to choose.
Exactly.
You know, any relationship that puts a person, you know, having to choose between am I going to have a relationship or am I going to be a person, then usually the relationship loses, because what God has designed is for both to happen in every relationship, that there's a we and there's two I's, and part of her I in you know, in her life is that she wants to pursue this degree and she has responsibilities to the we. And so I think what Sherry is talking about is that you've got to be a strong voice for the we, but at the same time respecting the I. And what I hear in this is a little bit of a kind of like you might be depending on her to fill more of your tank than is probably going to happen while she's in training or her schooling. And that you've got to really build out your support system and your friends and all that, just like military spouses do when somebody's deployed, like when somebody goes through medical school, et cetera, that this individual path of hers has got to be seen as a part of the we are headed somewhere, and this is your part in it. You're going to get a degree. I'm supporting you in this, and we go through this pain together instead of a you versus her.
You know, Henry, something I've discovered in 58 years of living, and that is that when you're involved in something, whether you're volunteering or it's your ministry or whatever, when you're involved in something that you cannot do alone, that is when you're fully human and fully alive. It means you need God. It means you need others. If you're not doing anything that needs other people, you may have that one person you're sucking the life out of because they're all you've got. I say, get involved with life, and it's amazing what might happen. See you next time here on New Life.
Thank Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.